Nature-based governance. America's struggle to break free from oppressive English rule resonates with all who cherish liberty. The author, anonymous, speaks not of an individual, but of a universal quest driven by the influence of reason and principle. While many equate society with government, the gathering of people signifies a positive event rooted in the fundamental human need for interaction. The government, however, acts as a necessary restraint to curb human excesses and selfishness. When individuals fail to act responsibly, they rely on the government to ensure collective well-being. Society sacrifices some freedom to a government whose primary role should be to provide affordable and comprehensive freedom and security. Even so, the government remains a necessary evil. In a small, isolated community, cooperation and governance evolution. Imagine a small group of people newly settled in an isolated area. Their shared needs for communication, assistance, and trade bring them together. For instance, when someone cuts down a tree, they rely on others to help turn the wood into shelter. Each person's skills contribute to the community's well-being. Initially, their mutual dependence eliminates the need for laws or government. However, as their population grows and interpersonal bonds weaken, they realize the necessity for rules and governance to address their shortcomings. Eventually, they establish a system where each individual has a vote to decide on regulations, with penalties limited to public disapproval. As issues grow more complex over time, communities entrust certain members with decision-making authority for the collective good. These elected representatives must prioritize the community's interests and undergo regular elections, typically every few months. This ensures that those making laws consider how they will be affected upon returning to civilian life. On English government. English governance is complex and distant from its people compared to simpler, more accountable arrangements. Understanding what citizens want can take years due to the convoluted nature of England's constitution. It consists of three main bodies, the king, the peers, and the commons. However, the king and peers hold hereditary positions, which disconnects them from representing the people. The idea that these three groups provide checks and balances on each other is flawed. If the commons can override the king's actions, it implies the king is untrustworthy and the commons wiser. Conversely, the king can also override the commons, disrupting the balance. The concept of a king itself is contradictory because kings are naturally distant from their people, hindering effective governance. A government where representatives of the king oppose the representatives of the people is inherently divided. Biblical ban on rulers. In the Bible, there's a clear disapproval of earthly kings. Gideon declines the Jews' request to become their king, stating that only God should rule them. Samuel also conveys God's disapproval of the Jews' desire for a human ruler, warning that a king would take their property and children. When God sends punishment, the Jews realize their mistake in asking for a king. Hereditary succession. The idea of passing down kingship through family lines contradicts the principle of equality among all individuals. Just because someone is chosen by the people to be a king doesn't mean their children should automatically inherit the throne. Often, royal children grow up feeling entitled and disconnected from the citizens they're meant to serve. It's often argued that having a king prevents civil wars, but history tells a different story. England, for example, has experienced numerous civil conflicts despite having kings. Since William the Conqueror took power in 1066, there have been 8 civil wars and 19 rebellions. As power shifts to the people, the need for a king diminishes. In England, the king doesn't offer much value to the people. Instead, they drain resources and initiate wars, make it clear and concise. After the tragic events at Lexington on April 19, 1775, there is no room for further debate. The time for discussion is over, and the call to arms is urgent. America stands independent from England, capable of flourishing commercially on its own. While England claims to offer protection, it only does so to safeguard its interests worldwide. England, akin to a cruel parent, has persecuted its citizens, leading many to seek refuge in America. Even England itself lacks true English roots, with influences from France evident in its history and aristocracy. Therefore, Americans should not consider themselves British. The influx of Europeans seeking freedom from tyranny further solidifies America's stance. It's time to acknowledge that England's grip should loosen, allowing America to govern itself. America should have the freedom to engage in business and trade with other nations without being pulled into Great Britain's conflicts with the rest of the world. Delaying America's independence from England will only burden future generations with the same struggle. The geographical distance between America and England is too vast for effective governance to occur on time. It's unnatural and unreasonable for an island to dictate to a continent. If America were to forego its chance for independence at this moment, it would entail several consequences. Firstly, the king would assert complete authority over the colonies, enacting laws favoring Great Britain's interests over America's. Given America's growth and strength, the king would likely seek to maintain control over it at all costs. Secondly, prospective migrants with wealth or property might hesitate to relocate to a politically turbulent America. Lastly, only an autonomous American government could prevent the inevitable conflict and uprising against British rule. On a proposed government, to ease the anxiety surrounding the transition to full independence, consider the following framework for a proposed government. Initially, a Continental Congress would be established, with each colony divided into districts, sending a minimum of 30 representatives to an annual meeting. The Congress, consisting of at least 390 members, would elect a president through a rotational process, ensuring each colony has a turn to nominate a candidate. Legislation would require a 3/5 majority for approval. Subsequently, a Continental Conference would convene, comprising congressional representatives and qualified citizens, to draft a Continental Charter. This document, akin to an American Magna Carta, would delineate the government's structure and guarantee fundamental rights such as freedom, property, and religion. Once its objectives were fulfilled, the conference would dissolve, emphasizing the primacy of law over monarchy in America. Why the United States? Why at this moment? The timing for a separation between America and England seems opportune for several reasons. 1. The colonies possess a robust and enthusiastic army, showcasing significant military power. 2. Abundant natural resources, such as timber, bolster America's strength. 3. The absence of debt allows America to secure loans to support the uprising. 4. To combat England, America can construct a navy using readily available wood, iron, or cordage, which also serves commercial purposes. 5. England's current preoccupation with other parts of its empire diminishes its naval strength. 6. America is actively producing and enhancing its arsenal and ammunition. 7. Vast expanses of land in the colonies promise future prosperity. 8. The youthful vigor of the colonies promotes ambition, teamwork, and drive. America has a unique opportunity to form a new nation. By creating a government and appointing officials, the colonies could improve their current situation. Presently, they are governed through coercion. America must declare independence openly and decisively. This declaration would encourage other countries to support America in its conflict against England. Without such a declaration, nations like Spain or France may hesitate to assist for fear of the colonies reconciling with Britain. A public statement of separation is necessary to prevent other nations from viewing Americans as rebels. With a well-considered declaration, America would gain recognition as a sovereign nation. The Monarch's Speech. In 1776, the King addressed the colonies in the Address of the People of England to the Inhabitants of America, portraying himself as authoritative, but was criticized for his brutality and tyranny and labeled a savage. His tone presumed his regal power would intimidate the listeners, emphasizing the necessity of disconnecting from English authority. It is in America's best interest to declare independence because history shows that no nation prospers under foreign dominion. America, in its developmental stage, has yet to realize its full potential. Independence would benefit both America and England, as it is commerce, not conquest, that serves Britain's interests. This commerce would continue through trade once the colonies broke free from English rule. The inevitability of a break is clear. The longer it takes, the harder it will be. Currently, the continent possesses the manpower and military experience necessary for an independence war. However, delaying this action will deplete the ranks of seasoned soldiers within American forces. Territories will increasingly benefit Britain rather than serving America's economic interests or debt repayment needs. Reconciliation with Britain would be complex while declaring independence would be straightforward. Maintaining the status quo offers no protection for property or freedom. Continued agitation risks inviting English force and exacerbating divisions among colonists, fueled by rumors and lies that divide Americans against each other. The Rubicon is passed. Some argue for the repeal of strict English laws and a return to British rule in America as it was in 1763. However, even if the British were to agree, they would need to compensate Americans for damages incurred over the years. There is also no guarantee that the English wouldn't reinstate oppressive measures later on. While reconciliation might have been possible earlier, it is now too late. Engaging in war against the British over certain laws is seen as unjust and wasteful of human life. From the first shot fired by the British, full independence has become the only viable path forward. Key points. 1. The transition from mutual dependence to governance underscores the evolution of community dynamics. 2. England's complex governance system is criticized for its lack of accountability and representation. 3. Biblical narratives and historical context challenge the concept of hereditary succession and the role of kingship. 4. America's call for independence hinges on its readiness for self-governance and economic autonomy. 5. Proposed frameworks for American governance prioritize representation, fundamental rights, and legislative efficiency. 6. The timing for American independence is opportune, driven by military strength, resource abundance, and global dynamics. 7. Delaying independence risks further conflict, while reconciliation with England is deemed impractical and unjust.